What is it about the Midwest outsiders do not understand? Everyone nods, gives the Heartland hello.
Surrounded by corn, rivers, and lakes, we are discovering the Midwest disturbing side.
This is Midwest Crime, and I'm Nico.
And I'm Jess. Thanks for joining us on this voyage.
And like we typically throw out in our episodes, supervision is necessary for, you know, who needs it.
Yep.
And, you know, Jess is going to be leading the story this week.
This is my story.
She's got a nice treat for us.
Yeah. So you can always reach out to us on, I'm going to throw our little taggies out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't forget, follow us.
Midwest Crime.
On Instagram.
Midwest Crime Podcast.
On Facebook.
And email us at
MidwestCrimePodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
Because we love to hear from all of you.
True.
All right. Now let's get down to the business.
Yes.
That is the case.
All right. So we're going to be talking about Margaret Treese. She's also known as the Tattooed Lady. If you're from Davenport, Iowa, you probably might have heard of her. If not, we're going to tell you today.
So
Treese was born in West Virginia in 1913. She later married Elmer. I don't know exactly. I didn't get much information on this guy because he's not really relevant. But
he's short-lived.
Yes. They lived in New York together for a while, but then went off to war and he died, so she became war widow. Yeah, so that's why
in 1913. Oh, is when she was born. So they were in like the 30s, World War I maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
All right.
And let's see. She then remarried Stanley
Domkowicz. That's my guess.
Okay. Domkowicz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll call him Stanley, I guess.
Sounds great.
Cool. So she married him on October 20th in 1945 in West Virginia. They weren't the best of couples. They got into arguments really frequently. Like after they got married, it like just didn't work for them. So they separated and she left to go out west.
All right. I mean, good for them for seeing that it wasn't working and moving on.
Yeah, she was done with him. Mm-hmm. So she moved out to Wyoming where she met a good friend. His name's Clarence Saunders.
Right? Or Saunders.
Saunders, should I say Saunders?
Maybe. Think that's right? I think the U.
U makes a difference? Uh-huh. Okay, Saunders, also known as Red.
Do we know if he had red hair?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's always my question when people's nickname is Red.
Is Saunders like a Irish name that could be?
Well, who knows? Yeah. Honestly, even if you're Irish, or even if you're not Irish, you could have red hair.
True. So they became good friends in Wyoming. However, they left to go to different places, but then they met each other again in Davenport, Iowa. Like, what a coincidence. They must have like talked and was like, let's both move here.
How does that happen?
Right?
And Davenport, really.
Yeah, what's there? All right. So they decided, so they were both single pretty much, mm-hmm. and they decided to pose as a married couple just so they could get a room at the Standard Hotel in Davenport. Yeah. So they didn't want everybody thinking they were weird. So they were like, oh yeah, we're married couple.
Yeah. And back then they probably would have got questioned, you know, like the 50s or so, you know, they're, why are you guys staying together?
Mm-hmm, right. It's
unusual.
Yes. Quote, untraditional right. stuff. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So Treese, she was an interesting woman. She worked at a local laundromat and some said she worked at the carnivals as the Tattooed Lady. So, you know, that stereotypical.
Like an attraction.
Yes.
Like, quote unquote freak show attraction.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And sometimes people would call her as like a Skid Row character. So she wasn't that elegant style lifestyle. She was more of a badass kind of down and dirty.
Into where people would be like, oh, well, she's rough.
Yes.
Without knowing her and just
yes.
kind of guessing.
Exactly. Saunders talked about how Treese would go out to the bars frequently and not come home after. They weren't married technically, right. So she still had freedom to go out and meet
People.
People. Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
Do what she wanted.
Yeah.
She's a grown woman and they're not married.
And she did. Yes. Yeah. So there was even a few times where she ended up leaving and going to other men's houses. There was a story in the article that I read mm-hmm. that she went all the way to a man's house in Rock Island, Illinois.
Oh.
Yeah, she forgot some clothing there that she really wanted and she liked. So she talked Saunders into driving her back to Rock Island.
Oh, gosh.
To try to jog her memory of where this guy lived so she could go and get the clothing she returned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or she left there.
Right.
And, yeah.
No address, just by memory.
Yeah, yeah. They were hoping once they showed, which, I mean, right. I get. I understand.
Maybe. Yeah.
If you go to a familiar place, mm-hmm. you'd be like, oh, yes, I remember that house because mm-hmm. it had blue siding. Or
right.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I remember this tree because it leaned over the road.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, mm-hmm. all right.
However,
no luck.
No luck. Yeah, she couldn't remember where he lived, and she never got her clothes back. But let's see. One night, Therese did not come home from the bar, and Saunders had an unsettling feeling that something was wrong. So he went down to the bar to try to locate Therese.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
After no luck at the tavern, Saunders returned to the Standard Hotel, where one of the employees confronted him about hearing on the radio that there was an unidentified body found. And I guess the way that they were describing it on the radio, it sounded like it could have been the body of Therese.
Oh.
Yeah. So Saunders hurried to the police station to find out if these rumors were true.
I'm sure because of her unique description, it would be easy to piece together.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So when Saunders arrived, he at the police station, he was astounded that the police were already expecting him. Because, okay. you know, the town talks, they know yeah. that they were together and whatever. Mm-hmm. So they were like, well, if he hears about uh-huh. this tattooed lady, he's going to expect that it was Margaret Therese. Exactly. Yeah. So, however, the hotel also already phoned in thinking that the body could have belonged to Margaret Therese. So they told the police that, oh, we know this lady. She stays yeah. at this hotel. Okay. Like, we think it could be her. However, her husband, quote unquote,
yeah.
Saunders would know better. So
right.
he would come in. And,
well, and they usually find next of kin to identify.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's, you know, legally
they know
what
best.
They, yeah.
Oh, it's legally
that,
too?
I think legally it has to be someone that can be related to you.
Gotcha.
Or like, there's legitimate proof that this person is
knows
able,
you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got you. I got you. That makes mm-hmm. sense because if somebody posed as like,
right.
Oh yes, I'm their brother or I their sister or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they aren't, then
who,
you could get in serious
I
trouble.
I just read a story about a criminal that did that. He did it to multiple different people. I don't remember. I know H.H. Holmes did some too, oh. where he did insurance fraud
uh-huh.
to where he would kill off somebody and be like, oh yeah, I'm their cousin. I know.
That's dirty.
It is. It is. It's terrible. Anyways.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the crime part now.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the morning of Tuesday, September 30th, 1947.
Okay.
Two workers were on their way to work at Credit Island Park, which was a 450-acre recreational island in the Mississippi River.
Wow.
Yeah. So I didn't really like look into that. I wanted to, but I totally forgot to. But it was in the southwest part of Davenport. So if anybody knows about this island, let us know.
Give us some info.
Yeah,
450 acre, that's a big area.
Yeah.
You know, the average house plot size is about a half an acre.
Okay.
So just to put in perspective, that's a lot of land.
Yeah, that is. Thank you. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
So about 30 feet off the road, these two workers noticed something kind of weird, off-putting. You know, they drive this mm-hmm. route every day for work and stuff. So they
something's out of the usual.
Exactly, yeah. So they pulled over, and they got out of their vehicles to investigate. In the deep grass, they noticed a nude and beaten body of a woman who was covered in tattoos. The body was heavily beaten, stabbed 19 times with a screwdriver.
What?
And run over by a vehicle multiple times.
Why a screwdriver?
I don't know. I think maybe that's all they have. And now that you're mentioning it, I'm kind of thinking, too, like, it could have been a worker because workers carry screwdrivers.
Right, yeah.
So, don't know, something to ponder and about, I guess. It,
at a recreational island, so yeah. I'm sure that they had to fix random odds and ends.
Right. Yeah, I'm not really sure.
That is intriguing.
That would hurt, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and screwdrivers honestly are not that sharp.
No.
Right? So there would have to be a lot of force to actually pierce the skin.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Ooh. 19 times is a little much.
Yes. And then they get run over by a vehicle multiple times as well.
This seems like a little, there was a little bit of feeling in this.
Probably. Yeah.
Possibly.
Her clothes were torn off and spread around the murder site, bloody, covered in blood or whatever. It didn't say specifically like what order the clothes were in or whatever, but I was kind of thinking that the vehicle could have torn them off too. Mm-hmm. So that's why they were spread out so wide.
It got caught in the wheel something.
That's just my own thought.
No, that's a that's a good thought.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And the body was found naked, although there was no sign of rape.
Okay.
Thankfully.
Yes.
All right. And real quick, we're gonna take a break and we'll be back in just like a second.
Sounds good. Welcome back, crew, and thanks for joining us as Jess tells us this riveting tale of Miss Treese and her tattooed, you know, appearance and her untraditional lifestyle that may have been the cause of her death, possibly. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get a little more information.
Yeah.
What do you have to share?
So, let's see. Some of the tattoos that the lady, Treese, had on her, which I wanted to list because some of them were really interesting.
Okay.
Like, for starters, she had her social security number tattooed on her.
Wow.
Yeah, which I thought was really... And then I was also thinking, too, like, okay, they're trying to identify the body. Can't they just, like, look up
Run
her social
it?
Security number and there you
That's
got the body?
That's how they identify it.
Right. Yeah. But,
interesting.
Yeah, and then she had another one, butterflies in, like, in different pretty patterns around the butterflies. She had one on her chest, a design of a snake with a,
bared fangs. With its mouth open.
Oh, I got you.
Ready to bite.
And above that, the words, Stanley Domkowicz. So her previous husband, yes. On her right arm, she had Peggy and Stan, 1946.
Oh, dang.
Yes. On her left arm, she had Frank and James Stanley. And then on her left leg, the names Bill and Ezzy. And right above that, a large cross with the words Rock of Ages on it.
Interesting.
Yes.
So Peggy is often a nickname for Margaret.
Yes, yes.
So that makes sense.
Yes.
Frank and James.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't remember reading anything about her having kids.
Oh.
But I don't know if those are just lovers then that she.
Lovers or random family members that
family
she was
members,
close to.
Right.
Interesting.
Bill and Ezzy too. I don't know. Maybe she went by Ezzy at one point.
Oh, maybe.
And she did that, and there was a Bill guy,
Large cross with Rock of Ages.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are some very interesting tattoos.
Yeah.
Her social security number, that I can't get over.
I know.
People often will do their last name on their upper back.
Okay.
And that's another one I can't really get over.
Yeah, I feel like you have a permanent jersey on.
Literally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That is.
So Saunders was brought to the morgue by the police in hopes to identify the body. Sure enough, it was his friend, Margaret Treese. So now that the police knew who the body belonged to, they started the hunt for a suspect.
Dun, dun, dun.
Thank you. although Saunders was being very helpful with the police, answering all their questions, you know, he identified the body for them. They still had to consider him a suspect and took him into custody. Yeah. I mean,
you know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, oftentimes they do that. And
yeah.
It's like, well, you're the man or woman in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You're the closest person to them. You must have done it.
Yes. Yep. And I read somewhere, too, that supposedly they got into an argument a couple nights before this happened. So people were already phoning in and being like, I think it's him, you know.
They got into an argument, so he had to kill her.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
So the autopsy reported the 19 stabs with a screwdriver collapsed both of her lungs. Wow. She had a fractured skull along with multiple fractured ribs. So she really
is accurate with being run over by a vehicle.
Oh, definitely. That would definitely crack some ribs.
And fracture your skull.
Yes. So the police got some evidence from some clothing, like her blood, you know, matched her blood or whatever. And they also got a mold of the tire mark.
Oh, okay. That can be some helpful information.
Yes, it could. So after some investigation, the police were able to get a rough idea of what happened the night of Teresa's murder and the nights leading up to it. So I'm going to go through like a little rundown of what they...
What the police think is going on. Yes,
exactly.
Here. All right.
So many people thought the police already had the right man in custody, like I mentioned earlier, Saunders. Although Therese and Saunders weren't a real couple, Saunders still got jealous when he saw Therese flirting or dancing with other men. And as stated before, she did do that frequently. She would go up. She went off with a man to Rock Island. Yeah, of course. Yeah, which...
Which he had no right to be getting jealous because...
Yeah, they were just buddies to get a hotel room. Yep. You know, get it cheap.
They were roommates.
Yes, exactly. So there was another man that seemed like a good suspect. His name was Francis Shelby. He was arrested once for sexual assault. However, the tire mold from the murder site did not match the tire mold of Shelby's vehicle. So that kind of ruled him out, which... I mean, this was back in, like, the 40s, so I get why they ruled it out, but at the same time, he could have just taken a different vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, they should have investigated him further, I think. But
it's interesting. His name is Francis, and one of her tattoos was Frank, and Frank and James Stanley.
Okay.
So maybe it was, like, a backwards, like, a list of her lovers. Yes. Stanley.
Yeah.
Frank.
Yeah.
Whoever James is.
Yeah. Another lover, possibly. They did study her tattoos to try to figure out if one of the names could be a suspect. Mm-hmm. So they did do that. Let's see, where am I? After about 2 weeks of holding Saunders in jail, they finally sent him to go get a lie detector test in Chicago, Illinois. Yeah, they were like, is it him? Yeah. So it came back that he was telling the truth. And so they sent him free. They had no other choice, really.
I'm glad that that happened in this situation for him because, you know, with the lie detector test, that's not 100%. And people, you know, people have gone away for things they didn't commit because of a bad lie detector test.
Oh, yeah.
I'm glad that this was not the case with him.
Yeah. Over the next several years, the police had no suspects or ideas of who had killed Margaret Therese. Finally, though, in 1951, the police got another lead about the murder of Margaret Therese. It came from a man from Salinas, California.
That's kind of far.
It is very far, yeah. His name was William Brinkley. He confessed to murdering Margaret Therese in Davenport, Iowa. He told the authorities that he met Therese at a bar. They danced. And then he drove her out to this island where Therese refused to have sex with him. So he hit her with a pipe, raped her, drove over her, and left her to die. However, if you guys remember, there was no evidence of rape to Margaret Therese's body.
Right.
So I hope you're already throwing out red flags everywhere. Right. Like, what is this guy talking about? Because his confession was a lie. He was unable to answer the police's questions about what happened that night, and like their evidence didn't match up with what his story was. So ultimately they were like, dude, this guy's a joke. I don't what's wrong with him. Let's see.
Interesting.
So nobody has been charged for the murder of Margaret Therese. This is a cold case, but there is an interesting rumor or mystery, however you want to call it, that a lady confessed 9 years after the death of Margaret Therese.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she saw Therese in the back of a vehicle with two men up front. And she noted that these two men were authority figures, part of the police task force. Mm-hmm. And there's no evidence saying that it was. I mean, this is a cold case, so they really don't have anybody. But if this lady is telling the truth of what she saw, could it have possibly, like, could this be the reason why nobody has been convicted?
That could be. That's so interesting, too, that, you know, the cops wouldn't go further into, you know, this 8 years later, mm-hmm. this woman coming out and saying, hey, I think I saw this.
Right? You would think that they would pick right up and be like, okay, new evidence, yeah. let's pull the case back out, right. go over it, interview whoever yeah. we need to possibly find out who murdered. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, then they could be hiding something.
Yeah.
You never know.
Which is always, you don't want to think that, but right. at the same time, in things like this, and especially when they're kind of more recent mm-hmm. than not, you know, like, okay, maybe in the early 1900s and stuff, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, well, yeah, they got away with
right.
it.
Right, yeah.
But when it's kind of more recent, you're like, okay, well, what evidence could we find
sure.
to settle this?
Exactly.
And especially for her, you know, you want this to come out and you want the answers here.
Yeah, absolutely.
So cold cases are always hard for all of us mm-hmm. in the community. It's like,
need
we just
closure.
Want answers.
Yeah.
And closures. Mm-hmm. And you hope for the family that there is closure.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
And poor, you know, her buddy Saunders, I'm sure he thinks about it all
yeah.
the time.
Oh, yeah, you know? Definitely.
They were living together.
I mean, he obviously had feelings for her too.
Exactly.
He got jealous over
right.
men dancing with her and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. So
jealousy comes from somewhere.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, that was a good story,
awesome.
Jess. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
Let us know what you think, as
yeah.
always, on Instagram, on Facebook, on
oh, we forgot to mention Twitter, I
oh,
think.
Oh yeah,
earlier.
Twitter, which is
a
at Midwest
bit, yeah.
Crime,
mm-hmm.
like Instagram. Facebook and Gmail are at Midwest Crime Podcast.
Correct.
So hit us up. Let us know what you thought of the story. Let us know if you have heard anything of this story
yeah.
that we didn't mention. That's
yeah.
always, you know, something good we look for. And as always, thanks
for
your
time,
crew.